From Friday night football to the county fair. From picnics in the park to hometown parades. From big cities to small towns, we are proud to serve our communities. Last year, we volunteered 19,000 hours and donated $5 million to local charities. Because lending a hand to a neighbor and investing in the people and places around us is the right thing to do. We are Park National Bank, and we are proud to serve you.
Member FDIC.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hi there, this is Greg LeGros.
And this is Jamie Dew.
Of Fully and Completely, you're listening to...
Hello and welcome to Fully and Completely, the podcast going through the entire discography of the Tragically Hip from the beginning all the way through some solo albums to boot, talking about the music, talking about the bit about the year these albums came out in, so you have a little bit of an idea what was going on in the musical landscape, and some sports just for fun. That's what we're doing. We're unraveling the mystery of Canada's greatest band. My name is Greg LeGros. I'm looking at Jamie Dew.
Hey, Greg. Hi. How's it going?
I see
in
you.
Person.
We only this is
did,
nice.
We only did one of these virtually.
Well, it's hard, pandemic life.
Yeah.
I tell you.
So we're in a backyard right now, sitting beneath a pear tree.
There's a lot of bees.
There's a lot of bees.
A lot of bees. So we'll see if we move.
Yeah.
But this seems like the right place to be for this episode.
Yeah.
It's nice that we're back very irregularly, but here we are. I feel like we have a good pace ahead of us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Excited. A lot of things are happening.
There's some big news. I mean, off the top, should we just talk
about of course.
News?
We just found out that there's a new Gord album coming.
Yeah. And
double album.
A double album with...
I guess it's just two versions of the same 10 songs.
10 song track list with an electric and acoustic version. And from what I read yesterday, the doubleness of it ended up being somewhat of a sort of a happy accident that Josh Finlinson...
Sure.
Finjansson?
Yeah.
What's his last name?
I don't know.
Oh, you do know him. He's the guitarist in Gord's band.
Oh, yeah.
Josh. Anyway,
let's go
Josh.
With that.
Yes.
Kelly Cranston Hilmanton's.
Oh, I feel so terrible. Dave, no.
No.
No, it's Josh Finlinson.
Yeah.
And at any rate, he had just asked for the acoustic versions as a bonus for him, like to commemorate the project, because the project started with him and Gord just, you know, basically posting a challenge to one another.
Right.
They had played a song on the previous solo record in, they had strung the guitar with an open C. Mm-hmm. So that playing all the notes plays a C.
Yeah.
And basically they decided to try and challenge themselves to write an album that way. So they just went back and forth over a few days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they went back and forth over a few days, and then Gord was like, let's actually record this. And this is all in like July of 2017.
Yeah.
Like, he has 3 months on Earth left.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, getting this shit done for us, ostensibly, you know?
Colossal output in that last little bit there.
Nuts.
But we'll get to that, because we're going to do that album now. We have an extra episode just because that happened.
That's right.
So we're racing to try and get pump out what we have left album-wise. I don't know if we're going to do it. I'm hoping we are.
That'd be cool.
I think we can.
All right.
I'll give it a shot. Yeah. I'm back to work, but it's not super busy yet, which is nice. If we can hopefully catch up, because we have today, obviously, we're doing Man, Machine, Poem, and we have two Gord albums to do.
That's right.
And if we can crack these all out in time for the roughly around October 16th release of Away Is Mine. Boy, that'd be nice.
That would be cool.
Right? I think we can. I feel good about it. I feel like we can probably do this.
All right.
Yeah. I ordered my vinyl. Thank you for the
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah, so you go to Gordoland or Gordyland or something like
Gordyland.
That.
Gordyland.
Yeah, and you can order your stuff from there. But I'm sure you all know this already because you're such big fans. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't know, well, now you do.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what we're here to talk about. Let's talk about 2016.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. That was a big year for me.
Really?
2016. My daughter was born.
Oh.
In January
of
2016.
Yeah.
Enormous. Lots of stuff coming into perspective, as you know very well.
Yeah.
You know, it was, pretty nice. 11 years with my wife at that point, and not including dating, I mean, which is actually, I was going to tell you a funny story, I thought. Do you want to hear a funny story?
Yeah, of course.
So I was thinking about my life, and I was thinking about 2016, and I was like, wow, what a journey, and I thought about the journey of time with my wife. And I remembered when I was driving down Broadview one day and I looked over at this convenience store, a memory shot back that I hadn't thought of in a very long time. There's a Saks or something there. Right, a little north. Anyway, I used to live right around there and I was a bartender and I would go to that Saks almost every night on my way home from work and get some kind of snack or something, you know, smokes. I was a smoker then. And I'd frequently rent movies. It was a place that rented movies. And so I'd, you know, rent some movie and stuff like that. And I get to know the guy behind the counter and we chat and stuff like that. And he's like, then one day he's like, hey, you know what? You rent a lot of movies. I got to look at this. And he opens this little cupboard behind the cash register. And he's got bootleg DVDs of like in theater movies, right?
Wow.
I don't know what was out then. Something, you know, 2000, like 2004 or some shit. And I'm like, cool. And so I start renting one of those like, you know, at least once a month. He'll have something. I'm like, I'll watch a crappy copy of that. Sure. And so anyway, that's just how things are. Then I meet my wife. We start dating. We were dating for a very brief period of time at this point. And we're out having some beverages. There you go, B. Having some beverages. And we're heading back home. We're going to my place. And we're going to stop and get some snacks and maybe a movie. And so we go into the Saks together. We've never been in there together before. But, you know, pick out some. You know, like this is like a few weeks in. And we pick out our snacks, looking for a movie, and I'm like, oh, you know what? Here, check it out. And we go up to the counter, put the snacks in, and I'm like, hey, man. And I, you know, feel like an annoying way. I'm like, got any of the, you know, the special movies back there? You know, like I always ask for, and you know, whatever. And he's like, oh. And he sees that I'm with a girl. And he opens up this other cabinet that's full of porn. And I'm like, what are you doing? I've never asked for this before. I didn't know it was there. What are you doing to me? Are you insane? We've established a thing where I ask for the bootleg DVDs of the things in the theater, not the porn. I'm with a girl. Are you nuts? What are you doing? I think all the color shot out of my face. I'm like, there's no way I can explain. No one would ever believe me. Let's get some porn together. I was like, what are you doing? I stared at him like, no. No, sir. Stop. Forget. I didn't even get to the bootleg stuff. Just paid for my chips and chocolates and left. I was devastated.
Oh my god.
Anyway, it worked out. We got married. But it's the most mortified I think I've ever been in my life. Couldn't believe it. I don't know what he was thinking. Never once have I been like, "Can you show me your porn selection as well?" Like all the time. Like, hey, what do you got with the special stuff? Give me the movies. And opens the porn cupboard. And he's like, what? I'm like, what are you doing?
Anyway. Let me go to the porn humidor.
Yeah. It was terrible. What a nightmare. But
Jesus.
At least it all worked out. We got married. And in 2016, a beautiful young girl came into my life. And I was out. I didn't even know there was a new album on the way. Honestly,
right, okay.
I had no idea. And that's when I got the news. I was out. I was in a coffee shop where a buddy of mine works, standing there with my daughter in a stroller. And I read the news about Gord. And I couldn't believe it. Oh, I was just devastated.
They announced that in May.
Yeah. And I was like, what the I was shook. And then obviously then I'm filling my news feed. And then it's like, there's an album coming. I'm like, oh my God, there's an album coming. This is crazy. And then I heard Tired as Fuck for the first time that afternoon.
Oh, really?
It was a mixture of emotions.
Wow.
So I was like, oh no, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh man, this song is amazing. It's a lot happening.
No giveaways.
Oh my God. A lot happening. That was a heavy coffee shop visit I had there.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it was nuts. We all thought it was like a ripple, like everyone just like hearing at the same time.
Yeah.
What a unifying sadness.
Oh, man.
just didn't seem possible.
Out of, like, right out of left field.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing about it seemed correct or sane. Unbelievable. But, 2016, roller coaster ride. But we did get the album. There's a lot of other stuff going on in 2016. Can I tell you about it?
Yes, please.
Before we get too emotional here. Let's talk about the 2016 Stanley Cup playoffs for a moment.
All right.
Yeah, we had one of those that year. Stanley Cup with between the San Jose Sharks and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Oh. Six games. Penguins take it.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting stuff here. Crosby's the MVP.
Yeah.
He's a fine hockey player. National anthem. Two national anthems. One performed by Pat Monahan and the other by Metallica.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, I guess they're the Bay Area.
And they do this. They've done it. I think they did it for some basketball.
They did it for the Giants.
Or something. Did they do
it? They did do it last year during the during the Raptors championship.
Yeah.
Because they're right in the Bay. Yeah.
Super weird.
Very.
Like, extremely strange. Weird. Yeah. I didn't even know what to do with that. And I was like, all right, Metallica, whatever you like. Do what you like. Enjoy yourselves. of course, we also had a Grey Cup that year.
Did we?
Let me tell you, we did. It was good and bad here.
All right.
Let me tell you. So it's good because two teams with winning records.
Oh, you like
so
that.
So that's, I'm really a fan of that.
Check mark for you right there. Yeah.
Big, heavily favored Calgary Stampeders came in 16-3-1, and the, I think, second or third season for the Ottawa Red Blacks were 10-9-1. Oh. It's not a great winning record, but hey, it's a positive.
Yeah.
Heavily favored Stampeders lose in overtime. 39-33.
Wow.
Big. That's great. That's all. What else could you ask for? That's a very, that's a solid Grey Cup. That's a good championship in any sport. So our halftime show, though.
No clue.
We've had some pretty, like, I was a little astonished looking back on all these halftime shows.
There's been some, like, top pop acts.
Swinging for it and getting good.
Some great Canadian acts.
Yes, this is the thing. This, it was halftime show, One Republic.
I don't even know who that
is. I know. I had to look them up. And they are a American pop rock band from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I guess that's what they're...
Is that what people want? I don't even know what they're saying. I didn't go any further than that. I'm like, what in the shit?
I feel like the demo, they could bring out Randy Bachman every year to play Taking Care of Business.
Just do it.
And that demo
would be upset.
Would be happy with
I'd
that.
I'd be fine with it.
Oh, I would too, yeah.
You know? That really was like, wow, you have such a great game. It's a shame that your halftime show was such a... Why? Who? One Republic.
One Republic.
It's like, I feel like somebody's trying to tell me about a band from 2003 I forgot about. This is 4 years ago. I do not understand what that could possibly mean. I don't know. I didn't even watch that game, which is a shame.
I remember
the highlights.
One Republic fans.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Maybe they're great. I really don't know. I don't have a clue. Toronto Raptors that year. Where's my thing here? We went into the playoffs, and we didn't make it. But this was the beginning of where we are now.
That's right.
It's not the beginning necessarily, but this is where, like,
but that was the end of the year that
perennial playoff team.
They went out, and wasn't that the year where when they went out, it was like everybody was like, get rid of Lowry, and
yeah,
Masai doubled down and
re-signed him. Absolutely, I remember a lot of chatter about this because I at this time period. Or right around then, anyway. I was managing a restaurant called Momofuku.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it was. And it's connected to the Shangri-La Hotel, which is where Kyle Lowry lived at that time.
Oh, okay.
And so he was in all the time, which was cool.
Yeah.
And there was a lot. I remember people chattering about him. Like, no, man, that guy's wicked. We lost to LeBron in one of our many 4-2. At least we got two in there. This was a LeBron won this year. We got two wins on a very good team here.
Is that Cleveland or Miami?
Cleveland.
That's his first.
Yeah, yeah. The first and only big Cleveland win. Look at that. And here we are. What a great year we got from them this year. Did you watch the playoffs?
Are you watching the playoffs? It was fun, but it was heartbreaking, you know?
It was.
They could never get it started.
I know, but they tried so hard. Honestly, like, that last game, that game 7 against Boston, we didn't get beat. We lost it.
No,
you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It's just like a couple shots didn't go down that should have. No, there was some very cold shooting going on. The fact that we took it to seven, that's a very good Boston team. I know they're struggling against Miami, but it's a very good team. Tatum, man, he's good. That whole team. If Marcus Smart was on my team, I'd love him, but he's not, so I hate him.
Well, apparently his own team hates him. Right? There's some fighting going on.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. He seems like a guy who's an antagonizer. But whatever, he's a really effective player. that's fine. It's going to be great. Everything's going to be very good. Very bright future for our Raptors, and couldn't be happier. So let me tell you this. 2016 is a very interesting year in music, too.
I don't remember it.
So past a dominant genre, like, or a scene that is bubbling up. That doesn't happen anymore.
It doesn't. You
know? It's just not, obviously hip hop is the biggest genre in North America anyway, right now. I think if there's anything you would call a genre or something to discuss, it would be just, everyone's making really good albums right now. That's the scene. Make a great album. And let me just pull up my little list here because I was having a look at this earlier and I just went with surface stuff, not even like the deep dives of like what I was listening to necessarily in 2016, but big stuff. Maybe the biggest of the big, Black Star, David Bowie. I mean,
oh, right.
That happened too. That was a,
and we'll get into that
early here. We'll get into that title wise. And so Bowie passing was just insane. I had just gotten home from the hospital with my daughter and then like, and I'm up in the middle of the night and I saw the news. I'm like, this can't be real. Please don't be real. I don't want to be in a world without Bowie, but there we are. And then he has this brilliant final album. Brilliant. Black Star is
so
a
strange.
Masterpiece. Fuck off, bees. Frank Ocean, Blonde, Beyonce, Lemonade, Radiohead, A Moon-Shaped Pool. And this is a lot of like, not other than Frank Ocean, you got artists who've been around for a while, really putting out quality work. and as good as Beyonce's Lemonade was, what was better was her sister's solo song, just Seat at the Table. Amazing. Another band pulling out one deep in the career. Tribe Called Quest comes back for We Got It From Here. Holy hell, was that album good. And it like felt like the moment. It was leading into Trump getting elected and all this, you know, so Tribe having that album, it was something to feel good about. My Woman by Angel Olsen. Wow, what a devastating album. So fantastic. Teens of Denial, Car Seat Headrest, Skeleton Tree by Nick Cave of the Bad Seeds. That's okay. A heartbreaking album. Holy hell, but it is beautiful. There's another bee in my face. Kendrick Lamar with the Untitled album. We're like, these are big releases, either from bands or artists who are establishing their career, or we have these artists putting out like Radiohead's, you know, still making albums this good, this deep into their career. Like, they've had a straight up classic in literally every decade they've been in. So they have a perfect album from the 90s, they have a perfect album from the aughts, and they have a perfect album from the teens. That's crazy. Right? Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, because you think of, when you think of the, you know, the biggest thing in music in terms of creative output and everything like that, often, you know, most people go to the Beatles, right?
Yeah.
They'll go to the Beatles. And,
sure.
And that was over like 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is,
you know,
insane.
Which is insane in its own right. But like you're saying, here's this band now that has played in three different decades and put out quality work in each of those three decades. Like that's, you know, that's what's more of a legacy, you know? I'm not comparing the two bands. You can't and whatnot. But what a tremendous
legacy. To have two albums that are stone cold game changers.
Like, right.
OK Computer, obviously, the influence and ripple effect from that coming out. So many people adopting that style and just being completely gobsmacked.
What's your album in the aughts?
Well, Kid A is 2000, but you also have In Rainbows in 2000.
That's where I thought you were going.
2009. That album is, oh, God, is that a good album.
Yeah. And that changed things, too, in terms of like, this is pay what you want.
Pay what you want.
Well, you know, yeah, like we're going to get this to you.
That's insane. But yeah, to have the OK Computer and then Kid A, which also shifted everything. Like that's the, here's the new decade.
Right.
Here's the new century. So get ready because we're not doing the same thing anymore.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So that's nice. And here we are then with our beloved Hip.
That's right. And we get this in light of all this horrible news.
All of this news.
About this band.
Yeah.
We get this light.
Yeah. And it's a interesting road getting here.
Yeah.
Because we've had some experimentation, some divisive albums, you know, always of a high quality, but definitely pushing people in different directions and feeling a lot. And Gord's solo work taking us other places. And so here comes this album and like, like you want it to be good because of the news.
That's right.
But it's not hard when it's this good.
Yeah.
It's an extremely good album. That's confident and really realized, and it feels like, I kind of want to call it a return to form because it isn't that, but it has this confidence and easiness to it that takes me back to Phantom Power.
Okay. I'll go a little bit further.
To me,
this record, the opening notes on this record, the opening vocal strain on this record is, I think, would have been as important as the, you know, the opening sounds to Day for Night in terms of like an era change. This is something very different now from what we were. And it breaks my heart that we don't get a follow-up to this record, you know, like, because what the fuck?
It sounds revitalized.
It totally does.
The production is sitting perfectly.
Yep.
The writing is so strong and it just feels effortless.
Yes.
Effortlessly them.
It's like Hen House in that way, like from a production standpoint. Mm-hmm. And it's like now for Plan A in terms of, you know, structure of songs and, you know, the ideas and the themes that run through it. Again, we've got this cancer motif with him dealing with the after effect. I know there's, you know, a lot of people that have read into the lyrics that it's, you know, more Gord centric, but you know, everything that the band says is that this record was in the can, ready to go before, you know.
Yeah. And there's stuff, obviously, you can be like, is this to do with that? It sounds like it is. But also, you know, as we learned around this time, I guess, or maybe a little bit before this, that almost all of Now for Plan A was written about his wife's struggle with
cancer.
That's
right.
And there's stuff that's bled over into this.
Yes.
That is about that, too, which is the irony is lost on me.
Right.
And it's, so it's there for you. And in a way, I mean, it was cathartic to have this and to have some of the content feel like that. It was maybe a little bit of some comfort. So that's a happy accident, I guess. But
another summer record. We got it June 17th, 2016.
Yeah.
The producers were, and this is why I was thinking of Dave Hamlin earlier, because Dave Hamlin's one of the producers with Kevin Drew.
Right.
So, Drew did Introduce Yourself and Hamlin co-produced Secret Path with Kevin Drew.
A lot of work with them.
Worked with Gord a lot. So really knowing how to, you know, mic him up and let him explore the space in a different way than we'd been getting prior to this.
Yeah. And there's a lot of heavy themes going on here. So let's talk about this album.
Yeah.
First track is Man.
Nothing about Hot Mic there. Wow. Okay, Man. What do you think?
Psychedelic, weird tune.
Yeah.
But not, not inaccessible by any means, but very haunting.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you start out with that weird disembodied voice, and it's, robotic sounding. And then there is, the bass drum and a cymbal crash simultaneous, and you get this intricate tick-tock going on the drums. Johnny Faye brings it on this record. This is a really strong showing for Johnny Faye. And, then it just builds up into this beautiful thing. But those words, what does he mean when he says,
"I am a man, and I am a man, and I do what I hate and don't understand"?
Yeah.
So.
A real machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's dark.
Yeah. Like, what is this fixation? Because not only do we get it, in the form of Man Machine Poem on the previous record, but in the song Take Forever from Now for Plan A,
mm-hmm.
one of the lyrics is, whenever a man tries to be more like a machine, he breaks down. When I break down, I always thought I'd go to Calgary.
Right.
Like, he is...
He loves it. He's so good at tweaking and reusing, and as you should. Yeah. It's like, if you have a good line and you can apply it to a lot of different things, like, hook it in there, make it work in a different style. And it's on this album, too. There's reuse of lyrical content to a great, great effect. And obviously, the title of this album comes from the title of another song from Now from Plan A.
Yeah, now what's that about? The sidebar on that is that originally this record was going to be called Dougie Stardust.
Uh-huh.
But then when David Bowie passed away,
right.
they changed it to Man Machine Poem.
Yeah.
Out of respect. And the cover had it was going to be the same cover, that baby falling or sitting on the black blanket or whatever.
Right.
But it was going to be called that. Now, there's part of me that's like, I can't imagine this collection of 10 songs mm-hmm. with such a silly title.
Yeah.
Like Dougie Stardust.
Yeah.
I don't mean silly in against it, but it's silly.
It is silly, yeah. It doesn't seem right at all.
No. So I wonder if there's, a whack of material in the can from this session.
Yeah, it was like goofier or something. It was their comedy record. Yeah. But that sort of, what measure makes a man, and and a hard look at the working class society and how what that does to people has been prevalent in his lyrics for a while now, and getting more, and it gets a little bit more cynical and maybe a little more disenfranchised as we go along. Not dissimilar to Pink Floyd, like they dabbled with it, and then by the time you get to Animals, it's like, this shit is bleak. This is very bleak. Are you okay, Roger? And that's good. And these are the kind of things that we need to think about and look at, especially in this day and age. But that really...
What do you think? For Man Machine Poem, the song Man Machine Poem, the line always was that he was the man,
mm-hmm.
the apparatus connecting his wife was the machine, and she was the poem.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that case, It makes my mind ache.
I think it means different. I think it meant something different then. It means something different now. And it means yet another thing by the final track of this.
Fair enough.
I think,
Yeah.
And there's a couple of ways to look at this. This might not be work related. Like, as soon as I read it, I was like, I remember working a job I hated and how much it broke me. And I just did it over and over because I was supposed to,
Right.
And not realizing I had options. And then I thought about all the ways I'm pigheaded in my relationship with my wife. And I do all these things almost like a machine. Like, I don't even think, and they're frustrating and terrible, and I'm a dumb man, and I just do them. And I don't understand why. I'm like a dumb man machine.
That's very good.
We all have just these silly mechanisms in us that we are either slaves to, or we foolishly fuel them with more and more of the same behavior, or we, work ourselves to an early grave at a job we hate. It's stupid, dumb traps, and sometimes we get stuck in them because we're too busy being a dumb man to ask for help, or to look for help, or to think that maybe I can. It doesn't have to be this,
right?
What do you
think of his vocal delivery in this song? Isn't it such a strange cadence? Like, those lyrics, you read the lyrics and then you try to fit them into that melody, and it's like, no, that doesn't make sense.
Be like, there's not a melody you can wrap around this. You know, there's nothing rhymes, but he's, or I'm like, he's so good at this that I'm like, we're all just, it's almost like we're not even impressed anymore. Just like, well, obviously it's this good. If anyone else did this, I'd be like, what a genius. But it's Gordon. He just does it all the time. That's, and you take it for fucking granted.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to this album and on, you know, his vocal on this opening track, I'm like, of anyone I can think of that has a career this long, I'm like, I can't hear any age in his voice.
No.
Like, you hear everyone else age, or they don't go up for those high notes anymore. You know, like you hear Bono's range go down and get smaller and smaller. You hear, you know, all kinds of people, or just obviously it doesn't sound like they did when they were 25 or whatever. But I'm listening to this and like the yelps and all the high stuff, and
it's still there.
It's still there. He sounds like the same. Like if this vocal was from 1994, I would straight up believe you. You know, it's just like there's nothing on his voice. There's no age.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Oh, it really is.
Yeah,
yeah. It's
what a machine.
Now, do you hear, the song Machine in the song Man?
Oh, do you hear traces of it there?
Yeah, I do. Okay. And I don't know if I'm just spaced out what. So if you're listening to this and you got that, you get that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm positive in the first 30 seconds. Oh, man,
we're done this, I'm totally going to have a little session and see.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's there. There's a guitar line that comes in.
Oh, yeah.
That is similar to the vocal melody of Machine.
Well, you know what? I'd be shocked if there wasn't something.
Yeah.
Connective
it,
tissue.
It really does feel like there's connective tissue between those. Mm. They're bookends or whatever.
Beauty.
But then we go into A World Possessed by the Human Mind.
Yeah. So this is one, obviously, that everyone was like, well, is this about him being sick?
That's right.
Because there's a lot of lyrics that really sound like that.
Yeah.
And, but no, it's about his wife being sick.
That's right. Being in the room with her or being in the situation with her. A lot of lyrics almost come lifted directly from, you know, a conversation they must have had, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny, I was, you know, when this song came out and talking about it with my wife, what's it about? Is it this? Is it about him being sick? And, you know, particularly just give me the news. It can all be lies, exciting over affair.
Yeah.
Or the right thing at the right time. And then she's like, well, is this, this is 2016 as well. And we're like, well, is this the bubble? Is this the fake news? Is this the cycle where you just only feed into the news you want to hear? You know, like, is this commentary on the state of the world? And I was like, oh man.
Oh wow.
Yeah, is this Jesus? Because that's really what we would rather have. And suppose, you know, listening to two sides, or, you know, it's very easy to get trapped in and only hear one way, and that's where we run into problems. Exciting over fair. Who doesn't like that? But mostly, of course, about his wife. And this song, really, I love the flow of the writing, and I love the conversational, and then I think I smiled, and then I think you said it's fine.
Yes.
The conversational nature of that. Yeah. I hope I laughed, and I hope I said it's fine. Oh, good.
That's
Lord.
That's right. So good.
Whew.
And then there's the bookends as well in that song that, you know, he gets undressed.
Yeah.
In a world possessed by the human mind, then he gets dressed in a world. Which is it, you know, just something happening in the same day? Is that like a note about like the mundanity of, you know, like just the same thing happening day in, day out? I don't know. Or if it's just like a lyrical, you know, a little whiff.
There. Yeah, a little bookend, you know. And this is the song where, like, I don't mean this album sounds like Phantom Power, but I remember Phantom Power just having this swagger to it. Of
oh yeah,
just extreme confidence of ability.
This and is a just, big. This is a big, big single.
Oh man,
if it's, this single comes out amazing. In 1996 or 1997,
yeah. Huge.
This is you know an enormous single
yeah.
in their lineage for
absolutely.
Sure.
Oh yeah,
it's got all the hallmarks of yeah. their good stuff.
And this album, like it, because this, yeah, so this feels Phantom Power to me. And yeah, Man does have a Day for Night vibe to it. I feel like you get little stabs at different parts of their career throughout this album.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I know that I put down that this could be a single on any record.
Yep.
After Music at Work, you know, from that collection onward, it could have been a single on mm-hmm. any one of those.
Yeah. There's all these little images that, like, once you get your head into the room, into the hospital room, like where everything is quiet, a little super dangerous, you know, like that's the silence of any major hospital procedure, you know.
Yeah.
It's terrible, you know, and you hear God rustling around in the bushes, you know.
Yeah,
such wonderful imagery and the playfulness of their relationship, and really, really nice.
Oh, and musically, one thing I just have to note yeah. that stands out to me is just that. Lick going on at the end. I think it's Gord Sinclair playing it on the bass, but it sounds real Britpoppy. It's right near the end before it.
Oh, sure.
Before it fades out.
Yeah.
It's so sweet sounding and yeah. nice. And man, it just adds so much to this song.
Yeah. Then there's moments throughout this album that like have little licks and things that remind me of other albums or specific yeah. songs. You know, there's a Grace 2. Baseline almost, wow. you know, cool shit like that going on.
What blue
indeed.
Oh, it's what love looks like in a world of reproach, completely absorbed in that too. Exciting of affair.
Now, I didn't know what he was talking about for quite a while listening to this song, listening to it, right? Because phrasing is so much like he'll write the song, but then it'll be about, he'll go for how the phrase fits into the song as opposed to like trying to, you know, perfectly convey the meaning of his words, which is great because
yes.
it leaves it so open. And so I was like, yeah, what blue? Like I honestly didn't even have an opinion. I didn't know what he was talking about. But it was like, then reading it, I was like, oh, in your eyes, that useless nights and all the dreary places, but what blue? That, and I was like, oh no, you fucker. That's so,
see,
and then I got really sad. I'm like, oh my God, this is about a marriage falling apart.
Oh, wow.
Oh man. And just like, and all the things that are going on and the mess and, you know, but still that thing that, what blue though? Those eyes. Yeah, that's where it's still that thing that, you know, that you fought for, I fought for too. It's right in there. But oh. everything else is these sleepless nights and all these other fucking things happening. And obviously this is where his marriage was ending.
Right. Oh, you're onto something.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And so this song is very sad to me now.
Yeah. Well, I heard What Blue as well, and mm-hmm. I definitely thought eyes. It was talking to her eyes, but not What Blue, but What Blue, like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Like, I don't even see the color in your eyes anymore. I just see all these things.
Oh, dude.
I just see all these things,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of it as rather happy in that regard,
yeah,
you know, because of that. But
yeah,
but now it could mean, you know, so much more. That is just a dagger to the heart.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's there's. I feel like this is touched on a couple of times in this album. This end of a relationship coming, which is just still saddens me so much.
Yeah.
Is Insarnia next?
Insarnia is the next one.
Right, which also had a different title originally.
Insomnia.
Insomnia.
Yes.
Like there's an end coming.
Oh wow. I think of the Insomnia theme is still intact, but I don't think any of the actual material, you know, made the cut. I truly think that this song is now about something different. So you're making me cry.
Yeah, I don't know, just that and you know, when you're not doing all right and you are kind of married to your insomnia, there is something weird and comforting about it where it's part of you and you're the, I don't know, the middle of the night when you're really just with you and just like every negative possible thing you can think of is obviously floating around your head, anyone who's been there. But it's almost like this love song.
It's beautiful.
Stunning. Right? His vocal.
That guitar intro and then that vocal coming in is just spectacular. And it's very atmospheric.
Very. This is a really dark and joyful oddball tune.
Well, it's more than oddball, though. When you think of the Hip doing their thing where they play this, you know, slow song that is about something that is so not something that you should slow dance to, you know? They just do that.
Yeah, there's like this desperation. There's this kind of magic happening here in this song, this cycling after you. Like, it feels, I don't even know what to do with that, cycling after you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all I have is the visual from Gord riding the bike in the Last Recluse video. I can't shake that. Obviously, it's apropos of nothing. So, you know, wisely added. But
I don't know what to do with this now. You've brought to light something that, of course, it must be exhibited in his art somewhere.
Yeah.
Of course it must be. And of course it would be something that would be like a third rail. You just wouldn't discuss it or uncover it in interviews, you know, around the album time. You just
wouldn't give it
any time of day.
Yeah.
Is it there? Is it in the lyrics somewhere, you know? It's terrible, you know, to think about that and to, you know, but there is a melancholy about this record that is hard to describe because the songs are upbeat and by and large, you know, good and atmospheric and great.
Beyond all that, it's nice that we've got another lovely ode to a smaller, lesser known Canadian.
Yes.
Sarnia.
Lake Huron, baby.
Yeah, man. Off you go. Gotta pass through Sarnia on my way to Michigan. I adore this song. Here in the Dark is a very good song.
Oh.
Very good song.
Yes.
It's confident. It's got an unpredictable pickup to it. It's really...
It's busy.
The song's really happening for me, like in a lot of ways.
It's a real busy... It's a real busy song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not in a... Not in a bad way, you know? And it's just very... The parts of the song are very distinct. Pre-chorus, chorus... verse, you know, it's just very alive, you know. And again, we get stuff about his wife's arms. Last time he was talking about it being like Jeff Beck, and this time, you know, and then reading into lyrics, you know,
the song makes me think of seasonal affective disorder
for sure,
and that feeling that you get, you know, when the there should be better days ahead. You know, spring hopes eternal, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about that, there's stuff in the lyrics that just take me there.
Well, yeah, it has this underlying depression to it. That's
yeah.
really punching out to get out of it. And you know, and that's sometimes a relationship ending isn't the worst thing. You know,
right,
and
right.
I feel like there's this like mourning the loss of it, but also no one's happy here.
Whoa.
I feel like it's not really
I didn't get that.
Present in the song until the end. The last lyrics of this song, you're in the dark. Okay, here it is. The chaotic first sip of loneliness, the flame that flicks, and pretty soon I want more of it. The happiness and its restlessness. Me, I'm as happy as my least happy kid.
Yeah.
That is serious family problems there. Like there's, and the address, you know, a father's always going to be looking out, any parent, not just a father, will be looking out for their kids' happiness all the time. And this, that being lost, depressed, mourning it, but also that first sip of loneliness, like being alone for a moment and finding it's maybe better or what you need at that time. That's sad too.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh, man.
That's a bummer. Yeah, that line really got to me though. Me, I'm as happy as my least happy kid.
What a straight jab to the solar plexus. It's high art, you know, to just nail that feeling.
Anyway, moving on.
There's your Grease 2 reference, right? I think.
This is a cool tune, too.
This is really great,
very,
right?
Very cool.
Got a Titanic Trarium feel.
Yes, yes.
Very jammy. And
yeah, really psychedelic thing going on
yeah.
here. You know, a lot of, I feel like we're throwing like a lot of thoughts and ideas out into the dark here. It feels very jammy, but I like it because when this song decides that it's time to go, it's just beautiful. And it's another one where his voice, I'm like, this is not a man in his, you know, third or fourth decade of fronting a band, you know? It's not a thing. It shouldn't sound like this. So young and fucking free. Holy shit.
Just exploring these heavy ideas and putting them into, you know, rock and roll songs. Mm-hmm. Like, God damn it. This record just would have been so great on a full stadium tour, you know, rather than the three or four songs they played from it every night.
Yeah. And I love the, and there's such a, there's all these things, all these little, like, emotional or internal roadblocks that people throw up, like this whole thing. They use it twice in the song. I've tried nothing and I'm out of ideas.
Ah, so what a wonderful turn of phrase.
Jesus Christ.
I have felt that level of frustration before. Mm. That, like, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Well, what have you done?
Yeah.
Nothing except for think about what to do.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I've been thinking about, I should come up with a solution.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to throw out there. And there's the contradictions of this. So where this song takes off, that moment where it starts to build. with the beautiful run of lyrics here and such a contradictory emotions. I want to enchant you. I want you to enchant my days onward, daily, forward, away. So what's today's answer then? Nothing, eternity, nothing. And then what then? To resist?
Yeah.
To resist?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Chills. And it's exploded. So open and huge. I feel like when he opens up on the drums there, it just tears the world apart. It's so fantastic.
Yeah.
I speed. I'm going to go take it.
This song is a trip. And the vocal production, you know?
Yeah.
All that stuff is like echoing and it's just
soaring.
It's just soaring.
Yeah, soaring.
That's a great way to put it.
I love this song.
Yeah.
Ugh, yeah. I definitely need a ticket because of it. beautiful. But there's lots of introspection going on here. This is a thoughtful album. These aren't just a collection of jams like, how are these? You know, it's not really what's going on here.
A perfect example of that is the next song.
Tired as fuck. The greedy palace has been keeping me up. See now then.
Now, you read this as a title, might be some like silly kind of song or something.
I'm expecting something, maybe not silly, but I'm expecting something at this point. The first time I hear this song, for something off Road Apples, you know?
Yeah, sure. And right? Even the opening riff is a little like kind of reminiscent. It's a little like, it's a little campfire. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
But then the way he lands in with the first tired as fuck, and I hear the tiredness in his voice.
It's. Who method sings? Like, I don't understand.
This is a different kind. This isn't physically tired, you know. This makes me think of a emotional hell, you know, something that's not like regret, remorse, anger is all in there.
Well, even him talking, this goes back to my thinking about sad. Him mm-hmm. talking about May and June. I just think again of spring and that idea of not feeling as lonely, not feeling as, you know, out of place in the world when the sunshine comes back.
Then he drops that whole lake of gin business. What is that?
And there's such underneath all of that in this song too. I find all this positivity of just grinding it out, like digging deep and finding that thing. Where sometimes maybe the machine's okay, you know, the machine can dig you out,
right?
You know? You can't and won't, will and can. When you don't feel worthy of being aloft. And I love that. You don't let your balloon touch the ground or get so high that you can't let go.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What wonderful imagery that is. And I don't know if there's anything I like as much. Maybe my favorite line of this entire album, and it has a lot to do with the way he says it, too. Tired as fuck. I want to stop so much, I almost don't want to stop. God damn it, that's good. I understand so fully. I feel it so much. I've had it in all kinds of aspects where you have that kind of feeling. Like maybe you're on if it's a job thing where you work through weekends and you're on a stretch of, I'm 18 days in, and you want that time off finally. But when you break the pattern, like it feels weird, or like you've lost something or given something away.
Right.
And it's very strange. Or you do, you know, it's all has to do with like self-punishment. And,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. And there's some weird sick satisfaction in that, you know, just see how hard you can push yourself. Sometimes maybe it's the gym for somebody. Maybe it's running. Maybe it's liquor. I don't know. But man, a lake of gin, maybe it's that. But yeah, this song, I love it. I love that it's friendly and campfire-y, but it's tragic and hopeful at the same time. It's just a really, really special song.
Yeah. It got its own mug.
Yes, it does.
Right,
sitting in my cupboard right now.
How many Tragically Hip songs have their own mug? I need
such
to know
perfect
that.
Mugs. Yeah, yeah.
It's great. Yeah. It's got a great groove off the top.
Yeah,
yeah.
Swagger, swagger, swagger. So much of it all over this album. And then speaking of swagger, this whole next song is all nothing but swagger. Hot Mic.
This song is so menacing and almost terrifying, threatening almost, but at the same time it's just so fucking big and ballsy.
Like, yes.
This song stomps.
Yeah, he's the Hot Mic.
Yeah,
picking up, I love that, picking up asides, you know, hearing that thing that people think that no one's hearing. I love it. That's, yeah, great.
It's very dark,
or broadcasting dark, that thing mirror. That people don't think they're hearing. I pick up asides. So theatery. That's great. this is just like, I don't know what it is. Like,
it's funny because this is another one of those lyrics that comes up on the record more than once. It's in Man as well. Like Hot Mic, that is. I just, there's a certain paranoia, you know, that comes with the idea of being listened to, that Hot Mic could be anywhere or anything, you know, in 2016. So there's that's a little bit, is this sort of a stance on that? Or is this, again, you know, just when you're waiting for news, when you've got all this on your mind, his wife's cancer, his marriage falling apart, you know, are you extra acutely listening to everything and you're the Hot Mic? I wondered
if it was about him being like, sometimes when you're the celebrity in a room, you're also alone in the room. and you know, people talk around you in a way like, oh, you're almost not there, or you're something else. But I also, there's a political nature to this that I feel is seething underneath too. And we talked about patriotism in this song. I mean, he doesn't frequently get too outwardly political. I mean, more so in the last chunk of years, but, I don't know. Do you have a stance on it? Like, what's going on here? It's a complicated song to dig apart.
Yeah. Well, I just go back to, the idea of the hot mic and surveillance being something paranoid. And then I think about the musicality of this song and, you know, it is so menacing and so, like, you know, this character, the hot mic, speaking in the first person, you know, is seething. And like you said, I don't know what about though. I just don't know what about. Are they tired of having to hear everything? So no, I don't really have, you know, much, but I think this is a little different from the rest of the record thematically.
That line, how patriotism is now enough and is powerful stuff. Like, he's a proud Canadian, but also is, you know, outspoken against blind nationalism.
Say that again.
How patriotism is now enough and it's powerful stuff.
Right.
I mean, this is the course of things. Like, yeah. If you're looking at it, maybe it's, maybe Canada's the hot mic overhearing the mess of the United States.
And, oh, wow. You know, that's
the freight train right that, now. You know, it's like, you like where we're sitting right now is like not too surprising. Like, if you told me this 4 years ago, I'd be like, yes, this is what seems frightening about all of this. I don't know. There's what's going on, Gord? Tell me the story. But I don't know. There's a lot of, again, it could be about three different things because it's Gord. But yeah. I find that in there, you know?
But thematically, I think your idea of that, you know, that celebrity person being alone in the room, there's something to that, you know?
You said you're loud. I think I'm off field today. You think you stink. 10 exits away. You said, oh wow. I'm so
song that, from a production standpoint, sounds like it's recorded underwater almost.
Yeah. This is another psychedelic, spacey tune. It doesn't go, it doesn't open up and take flight like Great Soul does. And it doesn't nestle into the weirdness like man does. This one just feels very mournful about change and moving on and moving forward. That's all I can feel in it. Just, it feels like transition. It feels like moving. You know what I mean? It's good. It's good. Nice to move on, but you know, ocean next. Here we go. So that's what that song feels like to me. It means to me. But who knows?
Yeah, not me. That's for sure. Because I mean, I had this completely in a different place. I had this as like, and again, maybe it's my frame of mind today, but I had this as like a pot song. I'm so relaxed, a little wistful, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, there's a talk of 1,000 pictures, and that makes me think of a picture's worth 1,000 words. So this is like a tome of words, you know, that somebody is dreaming up or creating. Yeah, so it's a real creative, I don't know, place song for me. That's, you know, I don't know. And then it's, I don't know. Cause then it's, better than sex or salt and vinegar chips,
which I have a huge problem with. The salt and vinegar chips are terrible. The worst. Only like if I'd only want them if I needed to figure out how many cuts are inside my mouth. It's the only purpose of salt and vinegar chips.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I can't stand them. Just terrible.
Miss Vicky's. Yeah.
I don't care who.
The sour, the better.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me that and a hoppy beer.
Yeah. No, it's never been a thing for me. I never enjoyed it. The salt and vinegar chip. It's like, who wants this? I guess it's you.
Feels like it's straight off of Day for Night.
Yeah.
Does it to you?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I could almost put it in the track listing somewhere.
100%. It would feel right at home there.
Yeah.
Right at home. Machine. You'd almost think, like, because it's like you got the book-ending title here, like, it's, you feel like you'd be just getting an outro song here, but you just don't.
No. You get something pretty spectacular.
Pretty spectacular that it's like, oh, hold up, I'm fucking funky, too. The groove this thing hooks into for the fucking chorus is outstanding. And again, the swagger, and it's playful, and it's light, it's inviting. You need that at the end of this album. You need it. I needed it badly at the end of this album.
Oh, yes.
Something like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like the context of everything going on and listening to this. Oh, man. And that's, like, the real feel I have from this is, like, I've dug into, like, decoding lyrics here. Like, I mean, I was like, "What? Yeah, I write about words."
And we've heard him talk about that before. Yeah. Honey, please. He says, "I don't want to look for words. I don't want to."
Yeah.
You know. So again, he's this word writer.
Yeah, man, you do it because I'm here for feel right now.
Yeah.
This feels very good, and I need this reassurance at the end of this album. You know.
Yes. We're on stable ground again.
I remain aloft and I forget a lot. I try not to try and I can remember or not. Me too, buddy. Yes. Ask my wife. And I love it. I'm a real machine. It follows. And it's just...
Yeah. So this is what... Who's he talking to?
Because I don't know.
I'm a real machine, so it follows that you're a real machine. So I almost feel like they're having that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
Like somebody's trying to convince the other person that, like, listen, I'm a machine, so it follows you're a machine.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
stay with me. You're a machine fed on shadows, which means you need to stay with me. You need to be with me so you can be safe behind my shadow. But you're a real machine because I'm a real machine. So we should be able to talk to one another like machines. You're not better than me. You're not, you shouldn't be difficult to talk to because, you know, I'm a machine and it follows your machine.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Makes me sad.
No, it does, but
I want so much, you know, I want so much to hear this band at this place, you know, create something else, you know?
Right. It's exciting. It's the best album in ages. Not, you know, like, I mean, I like, again, I go deeper now for Plan A. I love that album.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like this is the most complete and well written and maybe cohesive. I don't know if that's a word I want to use, but, natural sounding that they've sounded.
It's thematic and
since like Around in Violet Light. So probably really since Phantom Power, like where there isn't like a bend, like it's lean, like all those albums really kind of push in a direction, right? In Violet Light and World Container, and they have a specific kind of drive behind them, and this one is sprawling. It's really poking its head in a lot of. It's got a through line, I think, of lyrical content, but obviously in the ambiguous way that he'll offer it up, so you don't feel like you're being just dragged through the same story 10 times.
Right.
But the sonically, they're moving around and changing shape, you know, and that's more of the indicative of the band, you know, 92 to. 2000.
Sure. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I would say.
And that's great. And that's exciting. And so fantastic that they could become a band like this and then shift away and try and become a couple of different bands and then still be able to come back to this and have it, you know.
Work so well.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you, if at the end of the pandemic, you were able to put on the jeans you were wearing at the beginning of pandemic and they still fit. Not me, baby.
It stacks up. It works, you know, the 10 songs. I like that they were ballsy to go with a slim, lean 10 song
there's not even
track listing.
Close to being a weak track on here.
No. This is lean.
Everything fires.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And man, it's just
and it feels like it's a journey. It is a journey. It's not a concept album, but it rolls like one, you know?
I'm telling you, if you end up hearing that musical, that cue in Man and Machine.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to dig into that probably tonight.
Then to me, it's, you know, all bets are off. This is definitely more thematic.
Yeah. And I've said it before about Robbie's guitar playing. There's the elements that always reminded me of Dave Gilmore, and there's a Floydiness to this.
Oh, Machine is big. That's a stadium. Stadium. Machine is a stadium sized song, and it's a shame we never got to see them.
I know.
Play a big stadium.
I know.
But,
I, know. I love this album.
Yeah.
This is as being the final Tragically Hip album. You could not ask for more.
Or is it?
Or is it? Because now apparently there's other stuff coming. But yeah. I mean, as far as our little run while they're, while it's happening, this is quite an end.
Yeah.
Oh, and not the end for our show.
No. We've got, what, half a dozen episodes anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got some stuff coming up. Obviously, we're going to do the next two Gord albums, three.
Yeah.
So, well, again, I can't believe that. No. And they said as well, I'm sure everyone knows this, but it's just the final stuff that he recorded. It is not the final stuff that will be released.
Yeah, that's
so
interesting.
That's really, really interesting. So that's great that we have more to look forward to comfort us in troubled times. And it's been a, hey, man, 2020 has been a unusual year. I think we could all use a little new Gord coming into our fall here.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, gee whiz.
Well, this has been lovely as always.
Really nice.
Yeah, and the bees are all gone now.
Yeah, it's like they know we're done.
Yeah, that's what it
is. Thanks, bees.
All right.
Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to Fully and Completely, a Tragically Hip podcast. For more information about Greg, Jamie, or any of our guests, please visit duvre.com. That's duvre.com. Send a letter to the show at info@fullyandcompletely.com. To join our Facebook group, go to facebook.com/groups/fullyandcompletely. And we're on Twitter and Instagram @fullypodcasts. And hey, don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Duvre podcasts and such.
Is there? I think the whitest moment in all of music is unplugged Layla. It is. It sucks. And how long it takes the audience to figure out what song it is too?
That's really strange, right? Yeah. When they clap two or three times in the song,
and then he's fucking start to learn like, oh, it's this Layla. One. It's Layla. Oh, Jesus Christ, Ethel, it's Layla. Terrible. Oh. Yep.
We used to slow dance the fast part.
This is terrible. They knocked my cans over.